The Federal Communications Commission's program for providing subsidized broadband to low-income families is at a high risk for fraud and abuse. That's according to the latest look-see by the Government Accountability Office. The FCC has initiated an independent assessment, but that's still a couple of years off. Joining me with more, Seto Bagdoyan, Director of Forensic Audits at the GAO. Seto, good to have you back.
Oh, thank you very much, Tom. Good to be on.
This is the fund that goes back many years, correct? Based on a fee on your federal tax, as it were, on phone bills?
That's right. This program started way back in 1985 under Ronald Reagan to give people in need a landline phone. So it's come a long way since then.
And I guess it was under the Obama administration that the use of the funds was updated to help people with broadband.
Right, yes. First, they added cell phone service, I think in 2009 or thereabouts, and then broadband was deemed a service covered by this about a year or so ago.
Two basic issues, it seems, with this program that you found. One is the eligibility requirements and verification of that. The other is with the financial management.
That's right.
And let me start with the financial management. This fund for I guess it is for subsidies, right? Not for
That's
outright
correct.
Payment.
That's right.
Is $9 billion, and the $9 billion fund is in a very odd place, considering the government.
It sits in a private bank, and the government pays this bank roughly $1.7 million a year to invest the proceeds in Treasury securities, which the Treasury could do for free if the money were rebanked, so to speak, into the Treasury.
Why is that? How did that come about?
Well, the origins of this arrangement are pretty obscure. We were not able to really nail down how this came about. But during that process, we also discovered and brought to the FCC's attention that the agency, did not have direct access to or control over the fund, and we flagged that as a significant financial control weakness. And to its credit, the FCC has now taken steps, including a pretty detailed plan and timeline to bring the money back out to Treasury.
It seems like that's something they could fix pretty quickly. I mean, it's a simple matter.
It is simple on its face. However, the intricacies of getting money in from the various carriers who charge their clients the fee, as I mentioned on the phone bill, and also turning that around and reimbursing the beneficiaries basically is a little bit more complicated than we expected. So there's approximately a 12-month plan by the FCC to make this happen.
But at the end of those 12 months, that money will be in a Treasury account,
yes,
like all other federal funds.
Right. If the plan is executed as intended, and we are, you know, reasonably optimistic that that's going to happen, that money will come back to Treasury, and Treasury will take over its management from there and work with the FCC and an entity called the Universal Service Administrative Corporation that manages the fund on a day-to-day basis in terms of the logistics. They'll pick up the slack and go from there.
But that's a federal entity.
The USAC is a non-governmental, not-for-profit corporation that was set up by the FCC a number of years ago to run the program on its behalf.
Now, as a program for providing subsidies for broadband, it's also quite a complex setup that the FCC has devised over these years. Just briefly explain
right.
how it works.
So the FCC created USAC, which oversees the telecoms carriers that actually provide the phones and the related services. And they, in turn, meaning the phone companies, have essentially outsourced a lot of the functionality to call centers around the world. So it's essentially a four-tier process: FCC, USAC, phone companies, call centers. So it's pretty complex.
And how do they determine the eligibility of someone that would then get a subsidy for their phone bill or broadband?
Right. Well, someone who wants this will apply and claim essentially participation in a number of federal benefits programs. These would include things like disability, food stamps, Medicaid. Those are essentially the top three categories. So if you are part of that program, say yourself, you claim, I'm a Medicaid, I need a phone and a few minutes here and there, please give me this benefit, that's how you would apply and qualify for the benefit.
We're speaking with Seto Bagdoyan. He is Director of Forensic Audits at the Government Accountability Office. But then you did some verification of almost a million recipients of this benefit.
Right.
And
we
found that they couldn't be verified.
Yeah, we looked at about, I think about 3.5 million or so of the total universe, which is roughly 12 million. So we only looked at a slice of the beneficiary population. We ran the numbers, so to speak, for months on end, and we matched the list of beneficiaries against the databases for Medicaid, Supplemental Security Income, and food stamps. And we could not verify about 1.2 million of the people we looked at as being eligible. Now, that could be part of an administrative error or some other situation that may not involve potential fraud, but that's an awfully big number to say, well, it was all essentially due to administrative and other errors rather than intentionally misrepresenting your eligibility for the benefit.
And these call centers, and I guess much less the carriers, would have no way of verifying that someone is on food stamps or some other federal program because they don't have access to that data.
That's correct, right. So essentially making decisions on behalf of the program with very little, if any, verification. And just, I think you probably read in the report, we also did some non-projectable undercover attempts to obtain phones, and we were successful about a dozen times. And then the times we were denied for reasons that were not quite consistent with program rules, because some of these carriers appeared to be making stuff up as they spoke to us over the phone. So that was kind of interesting.
So people get the service and potentially an instrument to use it with.
That's correct, right.
And I guess the question is, what program are they buying from the carriers? Did that come up at all? Because any of the major carriers, they probably have about 100 different plans.
Oh,
and
right.
Sometimes
yeah,
when you call up, they cut the price just because you called up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is basically a simple, cheap flip phone that you get if you want the cell phone service. And you might get a few minutes, 3 minutes. You might get texting capability. It just depends on what the carrier wants to do with this.
And so are you recommending that the FCC tighten up the existing structure or maybe just dismantle it and come
well,
to
we
much...
are actually recommending that top line, the FCC, go ahead and evaluate the efficacy of the program, which is something we really didn't look at per se, is whether this program is meeting its intended objectives. There have been a couple of peer-reviewed academic studies that called it into question. They said it was a very expensive and inefficient way to get at its original mission, which is to provide phones to those who don't have them otherwise. So that's a start. FCC also has plans for instituting a national verifier system where phone companies can tap into and try and verify whether the applicant is eligible or not. But that is, in our view, pretty far off. There are a lot of technical things that have to line up perfectly for that to be effective. So that's probably a few years away. So in the interim, it's going to probably limp along as it has. We also recommended that they go ahead and take care of the financial controls issue, including moving the big balance, which grew from about $8 billion when we first started the audit to, I think now it may even be close to $10 billion, actually. So it's grown quite a bit.
Yeah, that's real money.
That is real money. Right.
And is there any estimate of how much fraudulently or not verified money might be going out to these subsidies?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, the 1.2 million people that we could not verify, you know, some of that might be fraud. Some of it may be administrative error, some other factor. We're working with the FCC to try and figure out the best way for them to do something about this list of names. We usually make formal referrals to the impacted agency, and that's something that we're working on to see whether it's even feasible for anything to be done with these names.
Seto Bagdoyan is Director of Forensic Audits at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.